Full coverage of the Atlanta Olympics with shooting, riding and cycling news and plenty of mentions of the Aussie Superbike. On Crime Watch, we'll profile Australia's best groomed bank robber. We'll pull the tarp off a new Martin Malloy product for the ladies. And Mick runs a few tests to find out if he fits the title Mr. Average. On Radio Gladiators, it's your chance to give Mick a mouthful. We'll fire up the love machine and see if we can get it to pop the question. And joining us live once again, it's comedian Darren Casey. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that every day sets a new Olympic record for talking crap, Martin Malloy. How bizarre. That's OMC. Good afternoon, Australia. Welcome to another Martin Malloy with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, Princess Diana's new media advisor, a man who has just four words of advice for Her Highness. The last one's up. The first two are shut, and I'll let you join the dots, Mick Malloy.
Yes, well, I'm a wordsmith, Tone. There's no denying it.
Now, what's going on? Are we looking towards Atlanta?
I'm afraid we are. Pucker up, Gracie. It's time for an Olympic update. There you go. Nicely done. Well done, Gracie. And not playing that with the mouth either.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you love it indeed, don't you? Do you see the way his butt cheeks swell up like Louis Armstrong? Yeah, quite magnificent, Gracie. Well done, Tone.
Are we going to have to hear that every time we have an Olympic update?
We might. Next time, throw a couple of coins in his guitar case. All He's right. working hard. You sat there doing nothing.
Now, do we have time for the segment itself?
Yeah, all right, Tone. Batten down the hatches. It's a gold storm. Yeah. Aussie athletes are bringing home the bacon after an excellent day down the rifle range and on the GGs. Shooter Russell Mark set a new Olympic record, taking our shooter's medal tally in these games to 2 gold, 1 bronze and a small fluffy toy. And congratulations to Russell, an excellent effort. But Tone, I have to ask, is he an official member of our shooting team? Because I saw the award ceremony and I couldn't help noticing that he was the only one standing on the podium wearing a balaclava.
Was he?
Yeah. And the only shooter so far to leave the podium via a getaway car. In fact, I think he may have bagged all the medals because as he departed, the blokes who came second and third were lying flat on the podium, hands behind their heads. So, anyway, I imagine there'll be an inquiry. Congratulations to Russell and good luck tomorrow. He's still got one more event scheduled, the drive-by shooting. No, it's a lot harder than it looks. Good luck, and if he's successful tomorrow, Russell will make Olympic history as the first shooter to win a medal for his country using a silencer. Now, out at the Equestrian Centre, Aussies again delivered the gold in the 3-day event. Right. Congratulations all. It was Australia's first. Australians coming in first. And do you know who came in second and third, Tone?
I think the United States and then New Zealand.
Damn, I've missed the trifecta. Oh, that would have paid good cash.
Is that how it
Normally,
works?
I don't bet on the hurdles, but I'd stated the form and thought I'd picked it, Tone. Was there a photo? Was there a protest? Oh, well, there's still the dressage to go, or as the blokes down the TAB like to call it, the get out of trouble stakes. Now, the Aussie team were successful, although it did come at a price. Gillian Rolton suffered a broken collarbone and 2 broken ribs. Yep. Wendy Schaefer completed the event with a broken leg.
Right.
And I'm telling you, unless the Olympic Committee hires a couple of those radio clowns, someone's going to get killed. That's what they need. A clown in a barrel who jumps out when a horse goes down.
Olympic,
you know the rules.
Olympic radio clowns. I'm writing that down.
You're writing it down. There's something for Sydney
posting it
to have a think about it. A broken leg, Tone. One of the riders has completed the event with a broken leg, and I'm thinking, lucky it wasn't the horse, because that would have meant a remarkably different outcome. A horse breaks a leg, Tone, and it's pull out the shoddy time.
Yes.
And who would they have got to do that? Maybe one of our gold medal shooters. Ladies and gentlemen, a big hand for Olympic gold medalist Michael Diamond. There you go, going for gold. Anyway, congratulations to all horses, riders and shooters who have brought glory to our country. The only downside was the failure of our cyclist, Shane Kelly, who missed an almost certain gold after his foot slipped from the pedal at the start of the 1 kilometre time trial.
Yeah.
Putting him out of the event shortly after the event, cycling coach Charlie Walsh claimed his foot had slipped also after it was found buried deep inside the Kelly poop chute.
Finally, a radio station that picks me up and makes me feel good.
Mix here at Martin Molloy. We've put the Olympics aside for a moment. And, Mickey, I think it's time for a quick crime watch. And look at this headline in today's paper. TV station bomb drama. Well, that could be anything, couldn't it? There could be a new series of just about anything. But no, six Molotov cocktails, one alight, were left at an entrance to Channel 7's South Melbourne studios last night. Gee, people do feel strongly about the changes to Wheel of Fortune, don't they? Wouldn't be Burjo, would it? You know, we haven't seen him for a while. He could have been nutting our scheme like this. Maybe he's gone like Dennis Hopper in Speed, the bitter, dismissed employee waging a bombing campaign against his perceived enemies. Any day now, you'll tune into Wheel of Fortune in time to see an exhausted Tony Barber spinning the new wheel like there's no tomorrow, going, if it slows to less than 50 k's, we're all going up. But no explanation as to the TV station bomb drama. We'll keep you up to date.
The Burjo Bomber. The Burjo Bomber. That's what we'll call him.
He's in his little 3.5-metre shed. And the little wheel just turning it slowly, working on his manifesto. Can I buy a vowel? Oh, let's keep going, shall we? What about Robert Downey Jr., the Oscar nominee, is spending his fourth day in jail after a series of arrests for bizarre drug-related shenanigans. While behind bars, Downey is employing a minder to protect him from the other inmates. You can do that, can you?
Apparently so. Yeah,
that's interesting. Would that be his agent? You know, because it's a Hollywood jail. All the inmates probably have agents. Hundreds of tough-looking blokes, each accompanied by a slick dude in a 2 grand suit with a briefcase. Okay, Robert, I've been back to Dutch's people with your latest offer. 2 bars of soap in exchange for a packet of cigarettes. The bottom line is very attractive, with you receiving a percentage of any revenues generated by further distribution of the first bar. Is that what's going on there?
I think it could be.
We'll follow that one up. And finally, listen to this story. A Melbourne hairdresser, described by a judge as being immature in financial matters, has pleaded guilty to aiding an armed robber by supplying and fitting him with a number of wigs and false beards. The hairdresser in question made up her partner in crime, enabling him to commit 3 bank robberies, the proceeds of which she hoped would help her pay back rent on the salon. You know, I'm sure we've all wanted to institute criminal proceedings against our hairdresser at one time. Why do you think Bill Kelty's always in and out of court? But I know I once attempted to sue my mum, incidentally, after a disastrously unsuccessful Steve McGarrett back in the mid-70s. I was desperate for the Hawaii Five-O look, and as I explained to mum, the secret to the Jack Lord do is that the wave of the hair has to be identical to the big wave from the opening titles. That's the key to it, but it ended...
Simple.
It is. Sort of ended up more as a half-assed Mr. Peacock from Are You Being Served, but I'm getting off the subject. That's great, isn't it? Armed robbers popping down the salon for a quick feature disguising trim before the big job. Oh, I'm sorry, this is going to be a lot easier if you take the pantyhose off your head, sir. Wigs, false beards, just a bit on the top, thanks. Right, I'm off to roll that armour guard van. Not till you've seen what it looks like from the back. There you go. It's the only chance you get to see the back of your head, isn't it, when you go for a haircut?
I think so.
That's the reason I go. Often I don't even bother with a haircut. Just get the mirrors out, want to check the back of me skull, and yep, fine, see you in a month. It's a funny little ritual, that one, isn't it?
Yes.
And you don't get it anywhere else, do you? Like, when women go in to get the bikini line done, does it happen then? Can I just see what it looks like from behind?
Radio Gladiators is coming up. Call us now on 1-800-657-657 on the new SAFM.
A new product that'll be in the shop soon.
Hi, Mick Molloy here. I lead a fast, active lifestyle, so I need a pad that can keep pace with my hectic schedule. That's why I use the new Black & Decker Panty Shield. Obviously, because I'm not a girl, there's not a whole heap for the pad to do. But even so, I find slipping one inside my underpants gives me that extra bit of confidence I need to go about my daily business. Whether I'm down the pub with the boys, cheering home a winner at the TAB, or crashed out on the couch watching Oprah, I know I'm completely protected from whatever it is that would have happened if I wasn't sporting a pair of testicles. The Black & Decker Panty Shield absorbs moisture, like this coaster absorbs Bundy and Coke. And the comfortable slimline design is not only contoured to fit snugly under the old bot-bot, but this extra protective layer will absorb even the heaviest of flows, even though there's fat chance of that happening. And fellas, once word gets out you're getting round with something called sphagnum in your pants, all your mates are going to want one. Okay, so I'm a panty shield man, but maybe you find them too bulky. Then why not try this new tampon from Makita? The other night I was at a party, and because I always like to carry protection to avoid an embarrassing mishap, even though it would take some kind of miracle for that to occur, one of these little babies was just the ticket. Simply by popping one down the front of my pants when no one else was looking, I was able to dance the rest of the night away, secure in the knowledge that my derps were going home dry as a bone. Sure, they don't come in a smart new flip-top pack, but just by bunging a couple in with my Winnie Blues, I know I'm safe as houses should the Red Baron ever come to town. So for the ultimate in sanitary protection, guys, grab yourself some Black & Decker panty shields, now available in a handy six-pack, or try the new tampon from Makita, because you canna hand a man a grander tampon.
Hey, what's the difference between SAFM and the other radio stations?
You've got more buzz. More buzz. The rest of them are a bit boring.
That's Tony Rich and his project here in Martin Malloy. I'll be marking that project and I'll have it back to you, Mr. Rich, by the end of class. Now, what's coming up in the next hour? We're going to be playing Love Machine, as always. Darren Casey's going to be dropping by.
Good.
He does from time to time. He's comedian Darren Casey and many other things. And he's also involved in Channel 9's Return to Variety. Return to Variety.
Capital V.
Variety's coming back to our screens, at least only in the southern states, I think, initially, but then it'll just be spreading like a big variety bushfire.
Big variety cancer.
If it takes off. Bushfire or cancer, you be the judge. Yeah. We'll talk to Darren about it. Also, Radio Gladiators is coming up, and I think it's an acting challenge today. Get your acting skills ready. Mm. We do this from time to time. Remember recently when we had people acting a scene with Flipper on the radio?
Yes, I do.
That was a debacle.
It was a debacle. So we've thought, hang it, let's go in again.
Well, let's have another bite out of that pie. Now, earlier, Mick, you were mentioning the Olympics and the mishap in the cycling where the bloke's foot came out of the pedal.
Yep.
Was that the superbike?
I'm afraid so.
Was it our new superbike?
A new superbike with the less than super pedal strap.
It's not a very good launch for the superbike, is it?
No. As far as the front wheel didn't fall off.
Was Alexander Downer driving it? It can be described as a bungle. He must be involved.
But how much is that superbike worth?
I don't know how much it's worth. I don't know. It's set to generate $45 million bucks in sales. I don't know if it's each one is individual.
So everyone's going to have one.
I think so, yeah.
So it'll be Mormons turning up on your doorstep with a superbike.
But it hasn't got any spokes. How can you put the baseball card in there and that's how bikes go faster?
Takes all the fun out of cycling, Tone. I don't think he would have won anyway, that guy, Kelly, because I know. Did you see that? That's bizarre. Has that ever happened before in Olympic cycling? Are you allowed to give a bloke a dink?
I don't know.
That was extraordinary. I don't know where he was going to take him, down the shops or something, but it was just extraordinary footage.
You know, it might be a superbike, but you're going to be looking like a geese driving that around the streets, aren't you? It hasn't. Where's the little chopper-style gear stick? Where's the, what we call, ape-hanger-style handlebars?
Where's the big flag off the back?
Where's the really long front forks? Did you ever get into that action in school?
Yeah.
If your dad was into welding, you were, you know, you had the opportunity to become a fork man. I was a really long fork man, and the forks were so long on the front of my bike, the wheel at the front was just like off the bottom of an ergonomic chair from the office. It's just a real small wheel.
The wheel of a shopping trolley.
If you went over a speed bump, you'd put your back out. But
that was a superbike.
Oh, yeah.
In my day, that was a superbike, young man. Now,
have we got time? Have we got time to check the polls? Have you got a poll? Should we stop?
Up to you,
because our producer is looking at me like maybe we should.
What are you thinking?
Okay, the clock, the time is against us. We'll be back very soon, people, with Radio Gladiators.
This is Martin Malloy.
What a lot of bullshit, frankly.
Brought to you by absolutely nobody.
Welcome back to Martin Malloy. Should we start? What was going on at the end of that last segment? You know, this is my 13th year. I worked it out in the break. This is my 13th year in radio, Mick Malloy. And I've ended a segment with, should we stop?
Yeah, it's just one of the finer moments of radio. People, sometimes when things are getting hectic in the studio, it's incumbent upon Tony and myself to communicate almost telepathically with our producer so we can kind of know when to stop, when to fire in the next song. And Tony, I thought, handled himself impeccably when he blurted out, can we stop or should we stop?
Yes,
it was a brilliant moment.
Maybe that should be the new catchphrase for the show. Martin Molloy, should we stop?
But I'm afraid we can't because it's time for this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Today's challenge, well, occasionally we say things on this program that we live to regret. That happens pretty much every day. But occasionally we say things kind of in joke, as jest, or in jest as a joke, if you prefer. And we say it, and then later on we go, no, let's do it. Let's give it a crack. And yesterday during Radio Gladiators, one of the callers kept referring to you as Michael.
Yes.
And we were saying, you know, only your mum gets to call you Michael.
And usually it's when I'm in trouble.
That's right. And we said, hey, why don't we just have people impersonating your mum on Radio Gladiators?
What the hell?
So, bugger it, let's do it. Let's have people calling out, pretending to be your mum, giving you a serve. Keep it clean, as Mick's mum would.
Absolutely.
You've just got to tell
Make
him
no
off.
Mistake about that.
What does your mum think of our show, Mickey?
Our show? Oh, she's a... Well, look, she's a fan. She's a hardcore fan, but she'll occasionally take umbrage at one of the more racier spots.
All right.
You know, you get a bit of an, oh, Michael, no. I'm sorry, Michael, that's not smart. I'm sorry, using the word poop shoot on radio isn't really impressing anybody. It's not clever, you know. I think it's much harder to be funny and pleasant at the same time. And I think that's something you should probably set yourself as a task.
That sort of language should be off the radio and in the Molloy home where it belongs. My mum luckily lives in another country and I don't think she has any idea what we do. And all I know is that every now and then she'll go, have you done anything as good as To the Man Are Born yet? That's pretty much the yardstick. And, guess what? And we just heard this week, I think, didn't we, Em? Yes, Penelope Keith from that very show was coming out here for Foxtel. Yep. We were going to get her in on the program and I thought, this is the first thing I'm going to be able to do that'll impress my mum.
What's happened?
She's pulled out. She's pulled out.
What was the reason she pulled out? Robert Downey Jr. style trouble.
Pillowcase on the head.
Seen leaving the Martin Molloy studios with a pillowcase on her head.
So I'm afraid we're just going to hang out for, I don't know, when Felicity Kendall comes out here. Then I'll have another chance to impress her. But what are we doing again? We're getting people to
we're
call
getting
up.
People to ring up and be my mum, be my mum, be clean, and give me a bake for whatever, you know, thing we've done wrong in the show.
And doesn't have to be female. You can be a bloke putting on a mixed mum voice.
Absolutely.
Now, we normally provide an example. What are we going to... Shall I pop out? I'll pop out to the phone.
Where are you going?
I'll go out to the studio.
So what am I? What am I? I'm playing me?
You're playing you.
See, this is going to be a bit of a stretch. What do I normally say, Gracie?
Not much.
Hello, Michael?
Hello, Mum.
Michael, what was that earlier? That stuff about the Black & Decker panty shield. Do you think that's funny?
No, Mum.
Do you think that's impressing anybody?
It's a joke, Mother.
You don't want to bring that sort of language to the table. I don't see why you should bring it onto your radio
All right,
program.
Mum. I'll be home shortly. Have you done my washing?
Is that the kind of thing we're looking for, Mickey?
I think you're there. Hey, Tone.
Yeah?
Come back here. I might give that a go myself. And what you're witnessing now, people, is the spectacle of a very skinny New Zealander going like the clappers. He's back!
Did that register?
That registered.
You're going to go next door and do, I think this is a point where I should say, should we stop? Should we stop, Gracie? We'll edit all this in between stuff out later. Hang on, here we go.
Hello, Michael.
Yes, Mum?
No, I'm sorry, Michael. That's just, you've gone too far this time. You should never have left university. If you had stayed on and got a degree, you might have been able to buy a house by now. Look at you, son. Look at you. You're nearly 30 now. Come on. Please, son. It's got to be an early grave for you. Am I in the terrain?
I think you are. You're enjoying this a bit too much, Eric.
Absolutely. I'll be back in a second.
Okay. And while Mick's racing back in here, I might mention the prize. If you can do something along those lines, you'll bag yourself a 3-pack of CDs. I'm just telling them about the 3-pack, Vicky. Just take a seat.
There's nothing smart about the 3-pack of CDs, Tony. No, I know you think that's a good prize, but it's just not impressing anybody.
It contains the very best of Crowded House, China Phillips, and that big plan to win Olympic Super CD. That's what I'm calling it.
That Judith Lucy. No, I'm a fan, but occasionally, Michael, I've got to say, I don't know how you get away with that kind of thing. I just don't.
Pete Smith, you should take a leaf out of his book. He's the only professional on that program. You'll go into the draw for five fantastic nights at the Hideaway Resort in Fiji, flying Air Pacific, thanks to our friends at Creative Holidays. Call us up, pretend to be Mick's mum, bloke or woman. Call us up and give Mick a clean pay. 1-800-657-657.
Martin Malloy. I'd phone up and complain on the new SAFM.
Here at Martin Malloy, it's Radio Gladiators, and today it's another Martin Malloy acting workshop stroke clinic. Stroke, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be, because we're asking people to call up to pretend to be Mick's mum and just tell him off. Just give him a serve for what he's doing on national radio every afternoon.
Yep.
And I don't know quite how we got this far, but that, I'm afraid, is the challenge if you're just joining us. Introduce the pseudo-mums, Mick Malloy.
Hello, Paul, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Mickey. How are you?
All right, mate, I understand you're going to put us under my mum for a bit of a bake.
I'll try. I can only try.
Okay. Better get her.
Okay. Mick, look at yourself, mate. When you were younger, you could have... I used to say to you, Mick, study a little bit harder and you can do something good in your life. Nah, what'd you say to me? Said, I'll be right, Mum. You used to watch television a long time, didn't you? But you used to say, I'll be right, Mum. And now look at you, mate. You're on a radio station cracking stupid jokes all the time. Mick, it comes down to the attitude, mate. I used to say, why can't you be like the other boys? Cut your hair. Look a bit respectable. Get a career job. Nah, I'll be right, mate. I'll be right. Now look at your son.
Who have you been listening to?
That's scarily lifelike, Paul.
And did you do me as well in there at some stage? Were you doing everyone? Were you the man of a thousand voices, Paul?
I did the voice pretty good too, didn't I?
Oh,
man?
Yeah.
And referring to your brothers, of course, Lockie, Cameron and Andrew. Who don't get often mentioned on the program. Thanks, Paul. Now we've got, it's another bloke. It's Guy. You there, Guy?
Yep, I'm here.
And you're going to say the role of Mick's mum. Take it away.
Michael, you're a very naughty boy using that sort of language on national radio. You can go to your room right now and you're not getting dinner for a week.
Well, I was usually a bit harder than that.
There you go. And points for Guy for, of course, calling you Michael.
Michael.
That's a thumbs up.
It'll put you out in front.
Okay.
From the very beginning.
You're in the lead so far, Guy. Have we got Margaret with us? You there, Margaret?
Yes, hi.
Now, Margaret, do you have any children of your own?
No, I don't, actually.
Okay, but if
I have a niece.
All right, but if you did have children and one of them was Mick, here's what you'd say.
Michael, honey, it's Mum. Now, you've been out with that nice chap Anthony Malloy for about 2 years now and you haven't even brought him home to meet us yet. Your father is very worried, you know. Are you ashamed of us or something? I don't know, Michael. What am I going to do with you? Hey, you're not gay, are you? I haven't been out with any girlfriends that I know about for a long time.
Who's this Anthony Malloy, Margaret?
That lovely workmate of yours.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Well, did that ring true, Mickey?
There's a couple of classics in there. Are you ashamed of us?
Yeah.
And something about not bringing your friends home.
Oh, okay. So we're getting to the heart of the matter.
We're getting to the heart of the matter. Not a bad effort from Margaret.
We've got Lee on board. Lee, are you there?
Yeah, right. Is that you, Michael? Michael, is that you?
Yes, is that you, Auntie Jack?
Like your sideshow freak does. Is that you, Michael?
Yeah, well, I'm assuming.
Hang on a second.
Your bloody room, it's full of brown albums, and I want you to clean it up now.
Ah, yes. We've struck a chord of truth there. Well, Mick.
Who was that? Who was with the deep voice? Was that me?
That was, that was your mum. Who was the other voice there, Lee?
That was your mum speaking about your sideshow freak, which you have on the radio with you, calling him Mickey.
Oh, that's me. That's me.
Yeah, that's
avert
you,
your
T-Mum.
Eyes. Don't look at the thin New Zealander.
That's you,
you'll
T-Mum,
be blinded.
You're in trouble too, Mick. Get those bloody pizza boxes out of my way.
Well, it's I don't know if it's true in tone, but it's certainly true in intent.
Someone put a trace on that call. Let's see if we can't get him into custody.
Have we got time for more? Yes, Chris is with us. You there, Chris?
Yeah, g'day, mate. How are you?
Not bad. Are you going to be Mick's mum?
I sure am.
Take it away.
Oh, Michael, what, you're home drunk again? God, you smell like an ashtray. You know, the neighbours used to say you were such a nice boy. Ever since you started hanging around with that Tony Martin and that bloody loser generation or whatever they call themselves. Fair dinkum, one of these days I'm going to kick you out of home, Michael. God, you're giving your father a heart attack. Look at him. You think he's asleep.
Oh, yeah, there's a key phrase. That certainly does sound like Mick's mum, but I reckon we've got time for one more, Mickey.
Have we?
Who have we got now? Hello? Hello.
Hello. Very funny, Michael.
Oh, no.
It's very, very funny.
Mrs. Malloy, how did you get this number?
Well, oh, you can get anything if you try hard enough.
Yeah, I see. I mean, I have to call you because you never call me.
That's
I have
right.
to call you at work. How are you, son? I haven't seen you for a while. How are you going, Mum? Did you enjoy that?
Yes, Michael. But a lot of it very true.
Yes. The stuff about the pizza boxes, was that ringing any bells with you, Mrs. Malloy?
And I thought Chris was very apt.
All right. I think you're right. And we'll give it to Chris today. The last of the callers.
And Mum, where are you exactly? Is she there? Mum?
Yes, I'm at home.
That's funny because I can't hear that washing machine in the background.
Well, never you fear, it's going.
And how many pairs of tracky dacks in there?
Oh, well, the usual, one.
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 I see, that's the good pair.
Okay, well, Chris, are you still with us? Christopher!
Yes, mate?
You've won. You've got the three-pack of CDs.
Fantastic.
And you've gone into the drawer for that fabulous trip for two to Fiji, and that's courtesy Creative Holidays. That'll be drawn, I think, is it tomorrow? Yes, indeed, tomorrow. Be listening then.
I will, mate. Thank you.
And is your mum listening at all?
I hope not.
Okay, because I hope you're not going to be in for a hiding because of what you've done today. I get the feeling Mickey is. Thanks for taking part today, and thanks to all our gladiators. Thanks, of course, to Mrs. Malloy, and we'll be back in the next hour with, Mrs. Casey's little boy, Darren.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Absolutely Nobody.
Stop it. The Yap with comedian Darren Casey.
Finally, a radio station that picks...
That's a bit of sexual healing. The satellite just clunking into position over your town. Maximilian here at Martin Malloy. It's the second hour, and thanks very much to Mick's mum for making a cameo on Radio Gladiators.
As she was saying to me on the phone immediately afterwards, well, at least I'm glad to know you were paying attention. All these years, I thought nothing sunk in.
All right. Well, let's put your mum behind us as we welcome our guest. We're ignoring him. We're being rude. We've left our manners at the door, as my mum would say. This bloke, he's an old cohort of ours. He's a writer, comedian, sailor, floor sander, former sex shop employee, chef and concert pianist. I kid you not. Now to that resume, you can add sidekick to Frankie J. Holden. Yes, he's part of Channel 9's return to good old-fashioned variety in Melbourne tonight, which kicks off Monday in Victoria, South Australia and Tasmania. And if it's any good, it'll be spreading to other states like wildfire. Please welcome Mr. Entertainment, Darren Casey.
The world's greatest intro.
Did I leave anything off the resume there, Darren? Pianist, floor sander, chef.
No, you've got it all. You've encapsulated my whole existence there.
And we're talking
cohort and sidekick.
I love you.
I can now drink at the sidekicks bar with Robin and Tonto and all the other sidekicks.
You can. Now, we mentioned Mick's mum. Does your mum follow your extraordinary career and give you advice?
Mum's been to one stand-up gig.
Yeah. Did she heckle?
Yeah. I said, look, I've got, I'm running out of time. They were all telling me to, Mum said, get off.
Threw a glass.
And I said, I'm not getting off. I've got 3 minutes to go. And she said, go boil an egg.
Oh, there you go. Always with the one-liners.
So, there you go. That was fun.
Now, what's going on, this IMT business? I know it's only relevant, I suppose, at this stage to people in Melbourne, Adelaide and Hobart, but it's going to be going everywhere else if it's half decent. Is that
Yeah, I believe Perth's up. At the start there as well. I think Adelaide and Perth. In fact, I didn't know about Hobart.
But there you go.
Adelaide and Perth.
So what can we expect, Case? It's Frankie J. Holden in the driver's seat. Is he nude? That's, I think, what the...
There's a fair bit of nude work going on. The whole show's done nude.
Yeah.
And Denise Drysdale's a bit of... Actually, I'm not the sidekick. You've blown me right out of proportion. I'm a segment guy.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And a bit of a reporter type. You know, we're crossing over for his reports on... whatever, and it'll be me. Yeah. Maybe on the moon, anywhere. depending on if we can get that NASA set, you know, the one where they recreated the landing in 69.
And what's it like working down there at Television Central, Channel 9, with so much history and so much, you know, previous kind of people looking down at you from the pictures on the walls?
I was nervous and deep breath-taken when I first walked down those hallowed corridors, because there's big photos everywhere of everyone who's ever been on Channel 9. And there's a big one of Gra Gra there, and you stop in front of Gra Gra, and you know, there's a little bit of, you sort of breathe quietly.
Everyone points their mats west and gets down on the knee and does a bit of bowing.
And I thought it was a good idea because it saves buying paintings. You've just got photos of the gang all along the walls.
And there's certainly...
They're just covering cracks, aren't they, Kate?
Well, some of them, the eyes move about mischievously, so I don't know what's going on.
There's certainly a pecking order, because when you go through the front door, you're just struck by this enormous bloody ray.
Well, the pecking order starts because there's a big one of plucker as soon as you walk in the door.
Oh, Ray's been moved.
Yeah, get a bit of a peck.
And then you've got Daryl, and you've got, you know, Gra Gra.
Well, Eddie and Trev.
Eddie McGuire, of course. Yeah. And then you go right down the other end, and there's the cast of Family and Friends.
And there's a few that you would never have seen in the toilet.
Oh, yes. I don't think we even got our photos up when we were at Channel 9.
And so what do? They get you a key cut and just say, Case, you come and go as you like around these parts? Or
I'm a sort of a consultant, but I've got the photo on the... you know, I've got the ID. I walk in, I greet the guys through the boom gate. I go in there. But mostly I work from home.
Oh, I see. Do you get to go in and watch other shows being taped? Have you had any big name encounters yet?
Ooh, I haven't. No.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
No big name encounters.
It's an exciting old glamorous world, isn't it? You're working from home in your unibomber shed, sending in gags to Frankie J.
I said I'm just too edgy to go in.
Another manifesto from Darren Casey has just arrived.
I said I want the job, but I'm just too edgy.
All right. And now, just quickly before we finish with IMT, is it going to be barrel turning? Is it going to be wheel spinning?
There's a wheel. There's all sorts of excitement. There's going to be a chap on there's a stunt segment, a bit of stunt work.
And dancers?
I don't know if the dancers are in the pilot, but I don't know if they're keeping the dancers.
Oh, dear. The dancers have been told, have they?
Yeah, it cost, it was too expensive to keep them in, you know, PVC plastic and leather and stuff.
Flares. Of course. Okay, well, it sounds like variety's coming back major way. Darren, what else is on your mind? Because I know you're a thinker and you've always got a few topics floating about.
There's lots of stuff to talk about. There's a bit of baboon interest. Melbourne Zoo recently had there's a couple of mandrill baboons in town as part of a mating program.
Right.
And there was a large photo of these baboons in the paper. And I don't know, I think they're going to need a large supply of baboon strength brown paper bags, because if you had a look at the heads on these things, and they're going to put them in a cage and try and get them to mate. Right. And the baboons are going to be sitting there looking at each other saying, well, you've got to be kidding. Have a look at the head on that. You know, you boys have seen a mandrill baboon. They've got all that gristle and stuff growing all over the front of their face.
One of them hosted his own sex special, I believe, back on Nine not too long ago.
So, you know, they've got these really ugly, gristly old heads, and, you know, you can imagine the baby will finally be born and everyone will be cooing around, and the old man baboon will be handing out the cigar saying, yeah, well, sure, he's got his mother's eyes, but that's his old man's gristle he's got all over his face.
You're fascinated by our animal friends, aren't you, Darren?
I like it. And what else was I going to talk about? A bit of a clown update.
Oh, clown update.
This might have been... Yeah, sorry.
I know you're into the clown gear.
I love a bit of clown talk.
And you were following the Adelaide Clown Wars keenly with interest.
Yeah, Adelaide listeners would be keen to know, you know, well, they would have seen it on their news. They've got the mall there, Rundle Mall, and various clowns working in the mall, and one stray clown came in and was on another clown's turf, tying the balloons, doing the sausage dog, and probably a couple of dirty ones that the kids didn't get. And then apparently while he was doing this, some other clowns came over and biffed him in the back of the head, and balloons akimbo and kids bawling, and it was about as serious a clown incident as you'll get.
Hence the clown wars.
Yeah, it was the clown wars. It was a lot like the opening scene from 2001. You know, you had all these clowns and then the music comes up and then they would just club this other one to death. It was frightening.
And was the Minister for Foreign Affairs involved?
Was he one of the...
He had his nose on and his red nose. In fact, can I do a red nose plug?
Oh, yes, do a red
is
nose
that
plug.
Okay? Yeah. Is red nose... Where does red... Is that Australia-wide? Oh,
I think everyone pulls on the red noses. Mm.
Well, there's a... Can I do a plug for a gig at the Odeon in Toorak?
Is certainly that okay? Can.
Stevie Bedwell's on the bill, Leno and Woodley, Scared Weird Little Guys, myself, and a host of others, Brad Oakes, and it's on the 23rd of August.
Yeah, you say red nose, is it for a good cause, or is it just you going
to
be wearing
it? No, we need money to buy ourselves a decent new red nose.
I see. It's red
the
nose.
The old one's gone kind of like a faded pink.
Understood. Help raise money for the big red nose. Yeah. Can you stick around for another break with this case?
Sure I can, I'd love to.
That'll be next on this program, Martin Molloy. Collins here at Martin Molloy, where Darren Casey, comedian Darren Casey, about to take a bit of a dabble in the world of television, is with us on the panel today and immaculately dressed as always. Oh, fantastic yeah. Ensemble.
It's the edgy overcoat for walking around the alleyways and brooding and pondering.
You're looking very dangerous.
Yeah, look, I was... it's interesting that you would bring that up. I was looking for a tailor in the Yellow Pages.
Right.
And, T-A-T-A. And I've come across takeaway food in the Yellow Pages.
That distracted you, did it, Case?
Well, I'm thinking dim sum. But who looks in the Yellow Pages? Oh, gee, I'm hungry. I could use a potato cake. Looking for that special dim sim. Let your fingers do the walking. I'm looking for a scrumptious snack with a cornstarch skin. Got any dimmies?
Well, some people like to call around and get a few quotes before they commit.
Have you got... What's your minimum chips, please? we can do you a good deal for under a buck. Minimum chips.
Minimum chips is a name for your album.
That is... In fact, that is the name of my next album, if I ever do it. Now, look, what about this for a thought? The gun thing, right? Everyone's got a hand in their guns.
Yeah, it's very serious.
And we'll spare a thought for the people in Denmark, because there's a bikie war going on over there.
Right.
And people, the bikies, have been firing anti-tank missiles at it. Did you read about this?
It's got serious, no.
The bikies have been... There's a bikie war going on, and they fired anti-tank missiles at each other. Now, I don't know what bikies are doing with anti-tank missiles.
But there's the buyback scheme is overdue in Denmark.
Exactly, and everyone in Denmark has to hand in their anti-tank missiles. Except, of course, the farmers. They get to keep these. You never know when a couple of lick-it-up cows are going to come at you in a tank, Try milking us now, gumboot man.
But you know what? If they enforce that, if they make people in Denmark hand back their anti-tank missiles, that's going to cost Denmark gold at the next Olympics. I hope they realise that. That's according to Helmut Drain.
Helmut Drain, who's the chief of the anti-tank missile lobby.
Yes,
the anti-tank missile lobby.
Yeah. Now, what else is on your mind? What else is on your mind?
You mentioned how I worked in the R-rated.
Yes. Now that's true, isn't it? You did used to work rather unsuccessfully, I understand.
Well, I was sacked after 3 days, but it gave me. I didn't move enough units. It gave me a good grounding in the world of debauchery.
Right.
And so consequently, I can handle anything now. And when I was in London, this was just on TV in London. I didn't have to go into a dirty little cinema to see this, but they had a documentary about weird sexual practice. And they sent a camera crew throughout the night with a dominatrix character, a prostitute, a couple of leather guys, the whole bit. And there was this chap that liked being whipped and belted and all that, but he liked to drink wee.
Did he really?
Yes. Yes.
Like just straight, or would he put it in a tumbler with some ice and shake it round a bit, put a little umbrella in the top?
Well, my eyes pricked up as soon as I saw it. I thought, okay, how are you going to deal with this? And what happened was the girl weed into a cup and he drank it and they digitalised it, but you could see obviously what was going on. If you squint your eyes, you can still see. Because I thought, I don't want to miss this.
No, your wee-drinking aficionados would be able to make out what was going on.
And he's drinking the wee, and I thought, well, I hope they've used a clean cup. Because you don't want to go doing anything unhygienic.
No, absolutely not. You don't want to pick up a cup full of wee and see, a little lipstick mark, on the top. Who's had this?
It puts you off, doesn't it?
It puts you off. I thought, imagine going into a restaurant with this guy and you let him order the drink. Bring me a bottle of your finest wee, please. And then the waiter would be sort of, can I top you up? And you'd be, nah, not you. I don't want the local crap. Get a Frenchman to wee in it. I want the important stuff.
That's probably enough we talk for one segment, Case. Anything else that's on your mind? Is the room?
In the news a couple of weeks back, there was a unfortunate girl in China had this rare condition. She had this giant tongue.
Right. Was she born with a giant tongue or did it just go giant?
I don't know. She developed it, I guess. Right. The article says a rare giant tongue, and it says Lu Yuxu was given $4,000, which she promptly spent on surgery. Right. And I thought, well, imagine that. You know, we've passed the hat around, Lou. Here's $4,000. What are you going to spend it on? Are you kidding? I got a tongue in my head the size of a guinea pig. What do you think I'm going to spend it on? Fruit tingles? And that's the end of the tongue.
And how big was the tongue, though, Case? I mean, it's a swollen tongue. Is it like hanging out the side of her mouth like a doggy?
It was about the size of a guinea pig.
Yeah. About the size of a guinea pig.
That's right.
If you want shape.
To really get a bead on it, you're right, Mickey. You'd have to take her for a drive and wind down the window. You see it flapping around in the wind.
You'd have to hang a little red hanky off it so that everyone else could see.
Travelling behind. Well, man, I'm glad we come up to speed with that girl in China with the unusually large tongue.
It's a true story, you guys.
I'm sure it is. Darren, thanks for talking to us today.
It's been a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to come on here. I wish I had more, but, you know.
All right. Well,
good luck with the new project.
Yes. Thanks, certainly people in southern states will be able to see a tiny bit of Darren's work on In Melbourne Tonight, which starts on Monday on Channel 9. And thanks for joining us, Darren. I'm afraid we have no prize pack for you.
That's okay.
But we'll be back in just a moment with The Love Machine here on Martin Malloy.
I nearly got caught. It was a very professional show today, isn't it? I had no idea the microphones were up, and I was about to let fly with an actung.
Were you really?
And our producer, actung!
Well, it could have been much worse. That's Alanis Morissette here at Martin Malloy, where...
It's time to fire up the Martin Malloy Love Machine. Listeners, love can be a fickle mistress, but Mick and Tony have the technology to tame her. It's called the Love Machine, and it's chockers with the good stuff. Every day, the Love Machine spews out another challenge to test your knowledge and expertise in the field of love, relationships, and good old-fashioned doing the bizzo.
Tell us about it, Pam.
Well, my guy is on a cruise ship in the Caribbean, so I got this old padlock key and I filed it down, took the name off, put a little red ribbon on him, and sent him the key to my heart.
Oh, the key to your heart.
But what's even more daggy is he told me he put it on a chain and wears it.
Really? On the cruise ship?
Yep.
So you've sent him a key, the key to your heart. He's put it around his neck, you burst out laughing and going, oh, you dag. What exactly is his role on the cruise ship, Pam?
He's a lighting technician.
Oh, right. So he obviously does a bit of work for LRB.
If you can successfully rise to the Love Machine's challenge, you'll win tickets and a CD soundtrack to the new Australian film everybody's talking about, Love and Other Catastrophes. Plus, you'll go into the draw for a brand new Volkswagen Golf CL hatchback valued at $27,000. Now, if that doesn't get the juices flowing, nothing will. Okay, love doctors, crank it up. But first, check this out, Gracie. Lord Almighty, I feel my temperature rising. Higher and higher, it's burning through to my soul. Girl, 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 you're gonna set me on fire. My brain is flaming. I don't know which way to go. Your kisses lift me higher. Like the sweet song of a choir. You light my morning sky, burning love.
Oh, yes. Thanks very much, Pete Smith. Long-time listeners to the program will know that every now and then, Pete starts channeling Elvis.
Pete Smith has left the auditorium.
There's no real explanation for it. He's taking hypnotherapy, but it happens now and then, and you never know when it's going to occur. Now, we've got to crank up the love machine today, Mickey, but unfortunately, we've had a lot of technical problems with this love machine. Where'd you get it?
The reject shop. The $2 shop. Well, I looked up the Trading Post, Tone, and it had only said one previous owner. So I plucked it out, you know. Yeah. Someone's been playing around with the kilometres. Someone's reset that tachometer or whatever it is.
You've obviously got the love machine from the shop, you know, does the ad with the guy with the eyes, the loony eyes. Come to Love Machine City.
That's the one.
So I'm afraid it's completely broken down. You're going to have to pedal power today. But don't worry, because I've got you one of them newfangled Olympic superbikes. So on your hop.
Have a look at that.
There you go. And start her up, Mickey.
I've got a stitch, Tone.
Already?
Yes.
Okay. It's the superbike, so this should be a fantastic suggestion for the machine.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Any second now. There we go.
I'm going to pop a mono, Tone.
Watch out, Mickey. Your trousers. Oh. There, oh dear. Are you okay?
I'm good.
But we've got the suggestion, and today, simply popping the question.
Ah!
That's our little hint today.
Popping the question. Have you popped the question? How bizarre was it? What did you do?
That's right.
How did you impress the other half?
Now, neither Mick and myself are married, so I don't think we've got an example to give.
Can help you there.
So simply call us up and tell us how you popped the question, how somebody else popped the question to you. We're looking for unusual. We're looking for quirky. We're looking for whatever you got. And as you know, we've got a car. We've got a car. You'll go in the draw for that fabulous Volkswagen Golf hatchback worth $27,000, thanks to the team behind the fine new Australian motion picture, Love and Other Catastrophes, opening right around the country August 1st. Call us up. Tell us how you or somebody you know popped the question. 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy.
We've pushed and badgered the listeners. We've sung to them and screamed at them. We've insulted them, cheated them, and angered them.
Brought to you by Absolutely Nobody.
Cacophony of sound can mean only one thing. The love machine is open for business here at Martin Malloy. Today we simply want to know how you or someone you know pop the question. Who have we got on the line, Mick?
Jan, are you there?
Jan, are you with us? Oh, no.
Tony.
Oh, Tony, is it?
Oh, okay.
Hi, guys.
How are you, Tone? Or maybe you can help us out. How'd you pop the question to your loved one?
Well, guys, I was very romantic with my lady 12 years ago on a very balmy summer night in St Kilda on the glorious and very romantic scenic railway at Luna Park.
Right.
And through all the screaming in the 4 minutes and 20 seconds, I think it was, that it took for the ride, I popped the question and we couldn't get off because it kept going, so we went around a couple more times.
So, did you get the response you were looking for? Which I take it wasn't, you know, her throwing up in your lap.
No, it certainly wasn't. No, I got a nice response.
And, you got
yes! And were you able to retain your composure during the actual popping, Tony?
Well,
or was it...
I had to do a lot of screaming. That bit where the railway drops in under the tunnel, that's where I did the popping.
Fantastic. Okay. So you planned it.
I planned it.
And there you go. And, well, yeah, what can you say?
Open for business. That's Luna Park. That's the scenic railway. Can we go better than that?
Let's try. Is it Jan?
Have we got Jan this time?
It is Jan this time.
Sorry, we've had a bit of phone trouble today, Jan, but tell us exactly what happened.
Well, it perhaps wasn't the most original line that I used, but it was very effective. I said, "Darling, I'm pregnant. Will you marry me?"
Oh, and were you pregnant?
Oh, I certainly was, yes.
Good.
And which of the two components of the statement did he react to first?
Well, I don't know that he heard the second part. He was on the floor by this stage. You know?
Right. And did he agree?
He did, yes.
The whole ceremony had been completed by the time he came round.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah. Before he knew what hit him.
All right.
And you've had the young bubba?
Have had the bubba and another one as well.
Good on you.
You going to get married again?
Renew your vows?
Oh, I don't know about that. Yeah, maybe.
Okay, thanks, Jan. That's not a bad one. Now we've got Brian. Brian, what happened?
Hello. I actually live in Sydney, and I flew my wife up at Christmas, this is a few years ago though, up to Brisbane, went on a gondola ride, which she didn't know anything about,
right,
out on the Brisbane River for the hour in sunset, sitting, having a nice, like, seafood basket and all that, all laid out on the table,
right,
knelt down beside the table, popped the question, and she started laughing because I'd got stuck between the table and the gunwale.
Oh, I see. Stuck in a gondola.
Yep.
And when she finished laughing hysterically, did she say yes?
I'm afraid so.
Oh, so it was successful. So it was worth it.
Yes, all, the whole bit of it.
Yeah.
And very romantic. Very romantic indeed. I know a mate who did something similar, but he popped the question on a Barbie boat. Are you familiar with them?
No, I'm afraid not.
Yeah, so I know a bloke who was stuck between the blades of a windmill on the little mini golf course.
And when he popped the question?
Oh, no, he wasn't popping the question.
Oh,
it just happened. Hello to him if he's listening. Okay, stuck on a gondola. That's not bad. Thanks, Brian. Now we'll speak to Sue. Sue, what happened to you?
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
My husband now actually phoned Today FM and requested, I'm a real Elvis freak, and he requested I Want You, I Need You, I Love You for me with Ronnie Sparks on Today FM in Sydney.
Right.
And also requested that I marry him at the same time. And I had to actually, he requested that I ring back Ronnie Sparks and give him an answer on the air.
And
this man has 9 children from a previous marriage, and it was a big, big favour for me to ask.
That's a lot of requests.
So we now have 12 children between us.
Oh!
9 of his.
And all thanks to the power of the king.
Yeah, 9 of his, 2 of mine, and 1 of ours.
It's amazing what a bit of Elvis will
do. Your kisses lift me higher, like the sweet song.
Yes, do you think it would have been the same if Pete Smith had been singing the song?
Well, no, I don't think so.
All right, and so the people today came good with the Elvis song.
Yes.
Ronnie Sparks has basically brokered a marriage.
I think they actually had to dig for it for a while. I didn't get it till quite later in the day, but they had to get it out of the,
We've got the M people version. All right, thanks very much, Sue. And finally, we've just got time for Ryan. Ryan, tell us your story about popping the question.
How's it going? My mate was at a party one night, a bit drunk, driving home.
Yep.
Got pulled over by a booze bus.
Right.
He had to ring up his girlfriend to come and pick him up.
Yeah.
And being a bit sorry as he was, popped the question in the middle of the booze bus.
Oh! Popped the question in the booze bus!
Yes.
I think that's our winner.
Yes. Ryan, when he popped the question, was he slurring?
He was quite a bit, actually.
Did he remember anything of what he'd done the next morning?
I think that was the only part of the night he did remember.
And did he think of getting, having the booze buses like the wedding carriage? Was that ever occurring to him, having the cans tied to the back?
Because I think it is law you have to have a blood test prior to getting married. So they probably could have arranged the whole thing in the booze bus.
Yeah.
Maybe they could have tied a few cans to the back of a booze bus.
Well, we made sure we tied a couple of cans to the back of the car before it left.
All right, well, that's a fantastic...
And did he get the answer he was looking for?
Yes, he did.
Oh,
the next morning he did.
Yeah, and he was told by the detective sergeant that if you marry this man, you'll be a bloody idiot. All right, well, thanks for taking part. You've got yourself tickets to Love and Other Catastrophes. You've got the CD soundtrack, and courtesy of the makers of that film, you've gone into the drawer for that Volkswagen Golf hatchback.
Pretty good, thank you.
Okay.
Cheers.
And thanks for taking part in the Love Machine, one and all. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh machine for you on Martin Malloy. Another night, that's the real McCoy here at Martin Malloy. Almost time for us to go, but before we do tonight, Pete Smith, he's recovered from his brief Elvis phase and he's promised to supply us with a graphic demonstration of the new Martin Molloy V-chip. That'll be in just a few moments.
Good.
And I'm just going through a few of the crumbs. What's happened with Princess Di?
Mm-hmm.
While we've been doing this show, has she got rid of any more staff members?
She's got rid of her press secretary, and this was just the latest in a cavalcade of departures. I'm not sure, Tony, but I think on last count, she's shedding more jobs than Telstra.
I think she is.
From her own department.
Oh, it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace.
It is indeed.
Amanda Vanstone knows about this.
Oh, yes.
What about, here's an Amanda Vanstone related story. You remember, of course, a few years ago when we persuaded, we and the rest of the team from The Late Show persuaded Joan Kerner, the then Premier of Victoria, to pull on a leather jacket and sing along.
Correct.
To a kind of a Joan Jett number, if I remember. Well, that very jacket has been donated to an art exhibition, believe it or not, called Women with Attitude, and a fair few powerful women have all donated something. Mm. A blowtorch awarded to Federal Defence Industry Minister Bronwyn Bishop was donated.
She's got a blowtorch. Someone's given her that.
That's how she does her hair.
I see. It was a Mother's Day present. So that's all fine. You've got various items of clothing. But get this. A pair of shark jaws from Federal Education Minister Amanda Vanstone.
Apparently they were removed on her last trip to the dentist.
Were they? I can't be sure.
No.
It doesn't say that they belong to her. They say that they're hers. Okay.
You'll find them when she sleeps at night. So she takes them out and puts the shark jaws on the side of the bed, on the little table.
Look, you don't want to be bitten by Amanda Vanstone. Whenever I go to see her, I have to be in the cage. I think many of our university types will be able to confirm that. Now we must thank our guests before we go. Darren Casey and Mrs. Molloy. We'd like to thank all of our gladiators and love machinists, and we will be back tomorrow with, Steve Bedwell. He'll be in wrapping up the week in fine form, as he always does. And just before we go, what's this approaching? What's going on here?
Excuse me, celebrity coming through. Please, no photographs. I said no photographs. God's sake. Hi, Pete Smith here. Did you notice that act of gratuitous violence just then? Sadly, an all too frequent occurrence on the program these days. Certainly wouldn't have happened in my day. Oh, no, back in the 60s, when we were doing IMT, if we wanted to, drop a load of bricks on Gra-Gra's head, we'd require written permission from the Prime Minister, who just happened to be a very good friend of mine. In fact, I recall him saying to me one day, "Pete, you're such an excellent broadcaster, I'm going to recommend you for a knighthood, just as soon as I get back from this big swim." Anyway, not to worry, because I'm here to demonstrate the new Martin Molloy V-chip. That's right, the new Martin Molloy V-chip. V-chip. It's quite simple. V-chip.
Sorry.
Here's how it works. If yours is one of the receivers fitted with the V-chip, you'll no longer have to endure the... Just one moment, please. Sorry, that's precisely the kind of moment you'll now be able to avoid thanks to this remarkable new technology. Now, whenever something offensive or unsavory is about to happen, your receiver will simply switch to some tasteful and soothing music from my personal collection. Mick, if you could help me demonstrate.
Sure, Pete. Just bend over, will you?
Okay. The Martin Molloy V-chip. All right!
Sorry.
Also eliminates offensive language. Observe. Mick, I have to say you're a complete...
Oh, really, Pete? Well, cop...
Well, I think that's enough demonstrating for one day. And now it's back to the program.
It's not time to make a change.
Martin
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with half-baked ideas and ill-conceived concepts, Proprietary Limited. Pete Smith speaking.